Tullia made her sphere emit light. She and Ayla were sitting side by side on the floor, leaning back against the wall. I wondered why. But I was leery of opening my mouth for any purpose other than the one at hand. So I knelt to one side of the trapdoor and regathered the bouquet. This gave me a few moments to realize I had no plan and nothing to say. But having grown up with Sur Ayla and knowing how she reacted to things, I reckoned I couldn't go wrong asking permission. Ayla, I would like to give you these if it wouldn't kill you. At least one of them inhaled. Neither raised an objection. The place was larger than I imagined, but so cluttered with beams and shafts I wasn't certain I could stand up, so I knee-walked over to where they were sitting. Something brushed past me. A bat? But the next time I took account of persons in the room, which was much later, there were only two of us. So it must have been Tullia teleporting herself out of the place like a space captain in a spiele.
Thank you,
Ayla said, guardedly.
Did you carry these things up through the Regulant Court? I guess you must have.
I did, I said.
Why?
Though I already knew why.
This one here is Sant Chandra's Bane, isn't it? Sant Chandra's Bane makes a weird-looking blossom around this time of year, which I have decided is beautiful.
I was getting ready to make an analogy to Ayla's appearance, but faltered, wondering how to phrase the part about her being kind of weird-looking.
But it's one of the 11. I'm aware of it,
I said, getting a little tense, as she had broken into my analogy only to start a dispute.
Like, I put it there because it's forbidden. And this thing between you and me, this mess that I made, is all about something else that's forbidden.
I can't believe you carried this right up the stairs under the nose of the Inquisition.
Okay, now that you mention it, it was pretty stupid.
That wasn't the word I was going to use, she said.
Thanks for bringing these.
You're welcome.
If you sit next to me, I'll show you something I'll bet you never expected, she said.
And here I was pretty sure there wasn't a double meaning. By the time I'd got myself seated in Tullia's former spot, Ayla had already climbed to her feet. She could stand up in here at least, and padded over to the trap door, which Tullia had left open. Ayla closed it. She sat next to me and extinguished her light. It was totally dark in here now. Totally dark, that is, except for a single splotch of white light about the size of the palm of Ayla's hand that seemed to hover in space just in front of us. I didn't imagine that this was a coincidence. The girls had been sitting here because of the splotch of light. I reached out and explored it with my right hand. The left, curiously, was beyond use as it had somehow ended up around Ayla's shoulders. There was a plank leaning against the wall with a blank leaf pinned to it, and the light splotch was being projected against that leaf. Now that my eyes had adjusted, I could see that the splotch was round, perfectly circular, in fact.
Do you remember the total eclipse of 3680 when we made a camera obscura so we could see it without burning our eyes?
A box, I recalled, with a pinhole at one end and a sheet of white paper at the other.
Tullia and I have been spring cleaning up here, she said. We noticed these patches of sunlight moving around on the floor and the walls. They were shining through from an old opening up high in the wall, over that way.
She squirmed as she pointed invisibly in the dark and somehow ended up closer to me.
We think it was put there to ventilate the place, then boarded up because bats were getting in. The light was leaking in through chinks between the boards. We fixed it. Almost.
That almost being a nice, neat little pinhole?
Exactly, and we set up the screen down here. We have to move it, obviously, as the sun moves across the sky.
Ayla could insert the word obviously into an otherwise polite sentence like nobody's business. I had spent more than half of my life being sporadically annoyed by it. Here, finally, I let it go. I was too busy admiring the cleverness of Tullia and Ayla.
I wish I had thought of this.
You didn't need a lens or a mirror of ground and polished glass to see things far away. A simple pinhole could serve as well. The image that it cast was faint, though, and so you had to view it in a dark room. A camera obscura. Apparently, Tullia had told Ayla everything about the tablet, about Saman, and about my observations. But it seemed like years since I had cared about that stuff as much as I cared about fixing my mess. In fact, as we sat there in the dark together, I was finding it difficult to muster even the least bit of interest in the sun. It was shining. Photosynthesis was safe. There were no major flares and only a few spots. Who cared? It was even harder to care a few minutes later. Kissing was not a subject taught in chalk halls. We had to learn by trial and error. Even the errors were not too bad.
A spark, Ayla said, muffled somewhat, a while later.
I'll say.
No, I thought I saw a spark.
Well, I'm told it's normal to see stars at times like this.
Don't flatter yourself, she said, and heaved me aside. I just saw another one.
Where?
On the screen.
Somewhat bleary-eyed, I turned my attention that away. Nothing was on that page except the same pale white disk.
And a spark.
A pinprick of light, brighter than the sun, gone before I could be certain it was there.
I think,
there it is again, she exclaimed. It moved a little, though.
We watched a few more.
She was right.
All of the sparks were below and to the right of the sun's disk, but each one was slightly higher and farther to the left. If you plotted them on the page, they'd form a line aimed right at the sun.